Bible.com.
Well, good morning, everyone. Glad you're with us today, whether it's in person or online. And excited to kind of jump in here to week two, after I kick some cords out of the way. Excited to jump into here week two on a little mini-series that we're branching off on through the 1 Peter series we've been in. So we're in 1 Peter chapter 3, and we're doing this little mini-series called A Closer Look at Relationships. And if you recall from last week, one of the things that I mentioned was I thought it was really important that as we talk about relationships, we don't just think about relationships in the sense of romantic ones, right? Relationships are the way two or more people connect with one another or the way they relate with one another. It's not always about romance. And so it was important for that, and also important that as we talk about what the goals are, it isn't something we're chasing after 9, 10, 12, 28, 31 goals in a relationship, but what we're instead doing is looking at one primary goal for all relationships, okay? So we've got one goal for all relationships. And the one goal that I should have and that I believe you should have for all relationships in your life is to proclaim the excellencies of God in them and through them, right? We don't always stop and think about that in terms of our relationships with different people in our life, but that could be one goal. That should be one goal we have for all relationships in our life, is to proclaim the excellencies of God in them and through them. 1 Peter 2:5 says that we are living stones being built into a spiritual house, right? This idea comes from earlier in 1 Peter. 1 Peter 2:9 says we're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and a people for his own possession. But the why? Like, why are we that? That we may proclaim the excellencies of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Right? So we are called to proclaim the excellencies of God. That's who we are called to be as a community and as individuals, and that's what we're called to do. So we want to be doing that in every one of our relationships. So one goal for all relationships, to proclaim God's excellencies. Okay. Now, last week we looked at love and marriage relationships that included dating and being engaged and kind of the gamut there. Encourage you, if you were not around for that message, go back and listen online through our PorticoCommunity.com website, through iTunes, or on Facebook page. There's links to the videos. We also talked about family relationships of different natures. So this morning we're going to look at two more types. And the first up is our relationships, or relationships for those who are single, right? In our singles relationships. That is our first up thing. Now, as a single person, there are, two different categories we'll think about this morning as we focus in, kind of pay some props to them. The first of all, the first group is, of course, the single ladies. All right, so as I was putting that little music clip together, I wanted to be careful because as a married guy, I didn't want this to come off looking like a dating ad or something like that, right, for the single guys in the church or anything like that. So I actually had to run it by my daughter, Megan, and I'm like, hey, is this all right? Is this cool? She's like, yeah, it's good, Dad. So daughter approved, single ladies little clip, right? So there are the single ladies, and then, of course, guys, the single guys, we have one for you as well, all right? So let's play that video as well.
Who let the dogs out?
party was nice, the party was pumping.
Hey-ya.
And everybody having a ball.
Hey-ya-yo.
Until the fellas started name calling.
Who let the dogs out? Who let the dogs out? Who let the dogs out? Who let the dogs out?
All right, so sorry for all the single guys that might be listening. That's the best I could come up with. there are some single men and single guy songs out there, but they're not very appropriate, so went with that. All right. So, single ladies, single guys, single people, right? Now, there could be a couple of different reasons that at this point in your life you're single. Maybe you're like a teenager, right? So that's kind of like a starting point there. Maybe you're single by circumstance, right? Like you're looking, you're interested in finding someone, but you just haven't found that person yet. Maybe you're single by choice, right? Like you aren't really feeling it when it comes to relationships right now. You're just not that interested in having one for whatever reason. You don't do ships. or you may be single by calling, right? Perhaps it's a calling that God has on your life to remain single for his own purposes. Well, whether it's by circumstance, choice, or calling, whatever the reason, your relationship with others as a single person is meant to be a way to proclaim God's excellencies. And so we want to look at that, and this will take on a little bit of a nature of what does your life look like as a single person, okay? Now, there are a lot of connotations in our world, obviously, when it comes to the label of being single. Singleness is often portrayed as having freedom and independence and being carefree, like you can do whatever you want, you can hook up with whoever you like. The single life is pictured a lot of times as the party life, like some never-ending, you know, episode of The Bachelor or Bachelorette or something like that. And, you know, there are some real advantages to being single. But those aren't the things that God has in mind for you, right? Here are a few things this morning that I think we should consider that are, right? So as a single person, you are not tied to many of the things that can hold you back in pursuing the work of Jesus. Now, family life is great. As a married guy and with kids and all that, love that. But it comes with a lot of cares, a lot of concerns, a lot of pressures, a lot of worries. And that's what Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. He says this, starting in verse 32, the unmarried man is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to please the Lord. But the married man is anxious about worldly things, how to please his wife, and his interests are divided. And the unmarried or betrothed woman is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to be holy in body and spirit. But the married woman is anxious about worldly things and how to please her husband. If you are single, you don't have those concerns Paul is talking about. You have the time, you have the ability to follow and serve Jesus in a way that those who have families cannot do. I mean, think about it. Like, if you have a wife, you always need to get permission first. Right, guys? I'm going to be in trouble for saying that, but it's not entirely true. But you need permission. Like, you should talk it out. If you have a family, you've got to check the kid's schedule and the spouse's schedule, right? You need to make yourself available to them. If you have a family, you have financial responsibilities to others. As a single person, you are free to use your resources for God's purposes. Now, you may long for those kind of inconveniences in your life as a single person. I understand that, right? But so long as right now you don't have those responsibilities, you have the unique ability to be undivided in your pursuit of Jesus and in serving him. Now, at the same time, I want to acknowledge, too, that there are some very unique challenges to being single, right? Not being a single person, I know that, you know, sometimes we married folks might be a bit insensitive and not thinking about maybe what we should be saying or things that we're saying. So I found this really good training video of stuff that Christian singles often hear to help us know what not to say. All right, so let's take a look at this.
How are you still single?
There's someone out there for you.
Jesus is your boyfriend now.
Meet and greet's coming up. You know what to do.
The key is to act like you don't care.
It happens when you don't expect it.
Who are you bringing to the wedding?
If I was a girl, I'd date you.
Who can we set you up with?
Sorry, couples only.
Have you tried internet dating?
She looks single.
You know who else wasn't married? Paul.
All single ladies. All single ladies. Come on.
Happens when you're not looking.
Work on your smile.
He's single.
You know who else wasn't married? Jesus.
It's okay to be a fifth wheel. Maybe if you give God one of your ribs, he'll give you a wife.
You should change your Facebook profile picture.
You know who else wasn't married? Matthew. No, he was married.
You should meet my cousin.
Just pray about it.
Pray harder.
This series is on marriage. You don't need to pay attention.
You're not that old yet.
You can't settle.
You know, you might want to think about settling.
There's plenty of fish in the sea.
We're going to celebrate not having Valentine's Day.
If she says,
you're like my best friend,
that's bad.
You should try Overflow.
Maybe she can see you tithe.
You know, when you have a wife, you can't play as much Xbox. You should get a dog.
Have you asked Jesus for a wife?
Are you on Christian Mingle?
Have you tried this? This looks good.
I have a great book for you to read. It's called the Bible.
Jesus is your girlfriend now.
Dude, you have to get someone hot because you're going to be married to them forever.
You are going to make such a cool aunt.
It's not about you.
You know, there's no marriage in heaven.
It's all about you.
I don't know. Is he a Christian?
It's about Jesus. I know people who got married when they were like 70, okay? You're fine. Marriage is like a sandwich. It takes a long time.
You're not going to meet your husband at a bar.
Do you want to be Jim and Pam, or do you want to be Ross and Rachel?
For it is better to be unmarried. See?
All right, so a little bit of sensitivity training for those who are not single individuals. You know, the reality is, though, that there are some struggles that can come along with being single, right? So being single can be lonely. You might feel like sometimes you're alone or missing out on some things. And I know this kind of speaks to some of the cliches in the videos, but I think it's important to realize that no matter what, you are never really alone. You're never really alone. None of us are. No, Jesus isn't your boyfriend, but as followers of Jesus, he is someone who will be with us every single moment of our lives. He is not going to leave us. He is not going to forsake us. 1 Corinthians 6:17 says that whoever is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Right? Whoever is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. You are one with Jesus if you are a follower of Christ. And that relationship should be the most important relationship you should have. Any of us should have. It starts with our relationship with him. And you're also part of a faith community that you can lean on. And we'll talk about that in just a moment. Right? So being single does not mean having to be alone. It shouldn't be that way. So as a single person, though, how can you proclaim God's excellencies as a single person and in your relationship? Well, first of all, just a couple of thoughts. First of all, use your singleness for God's purposes. Right? Be a person of prayer. Cultivate your prayer life. Commit to a deeper understanding of and a knowledge of God's word. Develop deep Christian friendships. Right? Look for ways God wants you to serve others and then do that on a regular basis. Pour into those things. Another area, honor God in your sexuality. Right? That's a big thing. God designed sex to be a life-giving expression of love between a man and a woman in a lifelong marriage commitment. And if you look in the scriptures, time and time again, sexual immorality or impurity is like at the top of the list of things that do not proclaim the excellencies of God. So, live by God's ideals in that area, not the world's standards. Okay? Practically, One really big thing I want to encourage our singles with is this. Don't take shortcuts to escape singleness. Don't take shortcuts to escape singleness. You know, a lot of people will cling to whatever they can to try to fill their emptiness or their loneliness. And it usually turns out disastrous. You end up in a worse place as a result. And we've got to remember that when it comes to being single, before we get into any kind of relationship, two half persons don't make a whole relationship. Right? God wants two whole individuals to become one. That's very different than two half people. Two people who are really struggling as individuals coming together. If you aren't in a good place as a single, if you're not doing single right, then having a love relationship with someone else isn't going to fix that. You got to be whole first, right? You got to focus on your connection with the Lord first and who he's called you to be. After that, you can look into taking the next step and it will be a healthy one, right? Now, also, I think too many times people are so desperate to find love that they settle. Saw that in the video, right? They overlook things that are really important. Things like, does this person love Jesus more than anything else? Things like, does this person display godly morals and values in their life? It's not enough to settle for a guy or a girl who is cool with my faith, even though it's not really for them. It's not enough to find someone who believes, well, there's a God of some kind out there, even though I don't know who he is. It's not enough to find someone who doesn't really consider themselves a Christian, but they're open to going to church with me. They're cool with my faith. They really encourage me to keep going for it. That's not the person. As a Christian, single individual, that's not the person God has in mind for you. A relationship with the wrong person is more painful and damaging spiritually than having no relationship at all. Right? So make sure it's with the right kind of person, the kind of person who God longs for you to be with. Now, it's okay to want that relationship and to look for it, provided you're doing it God's way. Right? But remember, you as a single person have an important and unique role to play in the kingdom of God at this particular time in your life. So don't take shortcuts to get out of singleness. Right? It will rob you of what God has in mind for you in the here and now and down the road. Okay, so these are some of the ways that you can proclaim God's excellencies in your singleness. And that kind of commitment to Christ will show to people around you. Okay, so that is something I wanted to share with you this morning on singleness. And we'll move to the second area. And the second area is when it comes to relationships in our faith community. Okay, relationships in our faith community. Now, I mentioned in the email and in the promo for today that there was going to be a little Christian music flashback, and this is that moment. So, you know, sit back, take a listen for just a moment here.
Honestly, I just didn't know I was going to have to sing this song for the rest of my entire life. Thank God it doesn't get old.
Packing up the dreams God planted in the fertile soil of you. I can't believe the hopes He's granted means a chapter in your life is through. We'll keep you close as always. It won't even seem you've gone, 'cause our hearts in big and small ways will keep the love that keeps us strong.
Come on now, how many of you got a little teary-eyed at that? Takes you back, way back if you're old. Now, if you're young and you don't know that song, you're missing out. Like, that was just an era thing, right? Like, if you were, a Christian, like, back in the 80s and early 90s, and then even on there, this is a song that was played at retreats and graduations and, you know, anytime there was anything going on where you had to say goodbye to somebody and, you know, probably was used for breakup songs. I'm not, we'll always be friends, right? that it was like everywhere. You know, you'd hear that little first couple notes of the piano and everybody'd be like, oh, you just knew it was coming. So it still is alive today. We'll keep it alive this morning a little bit, right? As followers of Jesus, we're called to Christian community, right? That, in short, is about friendship. It's about friendship. Like, you've heard this said before, and I've shared this before. Look, people don't come to church and stick around because the people at the church are friendly. They want friendships, right? There's connection that is supposed to happen. A church community, a faith community, is supposed to be a place where you build real friendships with one another. Most of the New Testament letters, of course, we know, were not written to individuals. They were written to churches or groups of churches. Why? Because we aren't meant to go it alone. We're just not meant to do that. Even when Peter talked about our purpose being to proclaim God's excellencies, like we've been talking about and I've been bringing up time and time again for the last few weeks, it was in the context of community. Right? You, plural, are living stones. Also plural, right? You're being built into a spiritual house. You are a chosen race. Plural, you are a chosen race, a group of people. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation, more than one person. You, plural, are a people of God's possession. Right? Each time it's plural. Each time he's talking about a group of people. You and by extension, we are meant to do life together. So we're called to build each other up in Christ, to work together to accomplish his purposes in the world, and we can only do that together. That's probably why, as followers of Jesus, we're instructed in Hebrews 10 not to forsake gathering together for worship. Hebrews 10, 24, 25 says, "Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." Like, obviously, the writer was inspired by God, by the Holy Spirit, but the writer of Hebrews gets it here. Community is vital to the life of every believer. We need others to walk alongside us, to inspire us, to challenge us, to encourage us, and to pray with us and for us. Right? We need people to do life together with. We're designed that way. And here's one of the reasons I think that's so important. Kind of maybe one key idea in this area is this. Being part of a community that shares the same desires will fuel growth in that area. Being part of a community that shares the same desires will fuel growth in that area. Now think about that. If you are someone who spends a lot of time with a group of people or a community that values sports, if you are someone who spends a lot of time in a community of people who values music or arts or drama, like, you'll grow in those areas. That's going to become a bigger part of your life. It's possible they might even take over the focus of your life. It can happen, and it does. If you spend time with a group of people or a community that likes to drink and likes to party, most likely so will you. But if you spend time with a group of people, a community that is focused on pursuing the Lord, you're going to find yourself growing in him. Right? When you prioritize being part of God's community, the community of people that follows the Lord, you'll grow. Right? Because being a part of a community that shares the same desires will fuel growth in that area. Now, on the other hand, when you choose distance and isolation or separation from that, it's really easy to lose perspective on life, on your faith. It's more likely you'll develop fears of intimacy. It can lead to loneliness. It can lead to depression. Remain isolated long enough, and pretty soon you're going to find yourself with a best friend being a volleyball named Wilson, right? You'll be less likely to reach out to others who need the hope of Jesus. Ultimately, you might even find yourself walking away or wandering away or falling away from him. So the reality is that some things in our life we were not meant to do on our own. Following Jesus is one of them, because God desires us to be a community, right? And community is not something we can do alone. One last video for you this morning that talks about this or mentions this. Community is not something we
can
do alone.
There are some things in life that you can't do alone, like play ping pong.
Yeah, baby.
Give yourself a root canal. Be stuck in a traffic jam.
Are you serious? Come on!
Perform a flash mob. Have a sack race.
Set, go! Got it! I'm gonna beat you! I got it! Yeah! Yeah!
Go on a lunch date. Trust fall.
Okay, here I go. Falling.
Some things in life just don't work without the help of others. Your spiritual journey is one of them. When it comes to that, we're much better together. Real life change happens in the context of relationships. So don't hesitate and find your group today.
All right. God, the trust fall one was great, wasn't it? God created us for communion, community with him. A connection with him and with others, with one another. God himself exists as one God in three persons. We understand this, right? He always has been that way. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Three individuals, yet indivisible. They're one. And he wants us to realize the fullness of community as well. Right? That same community that he himself experienced and knew. He wants that as well to be reflected throughout his church. We're supposed to be one. Now, there are some unusual circumstances these days, we understand, right? Like, I realize that some people, more than others, have to be taking some precautions, right? But it's still critical that we maintain our relationships within our faith community. It should bother you every Sunday or Thursday or whatever the day is that you are not connecting fully as a community in person, right? It should bother us that that's not taking place. We should not get comfortable with this kind of current operating procedure. Now, it might be necessary for a season. We totally understand that. But it should only be for a season. And so I want to issue a little bit of a challenge this morning. And this is a challenge for both those who have been watching and sticking with us online, and we're glad that you're doing that, but also for those here in person. But for those who are online, don't stay home and watch church and then skip out on opportunities to stay connected in relationship with other Christians, with others in your faith community. Right? And for those who are attending in person, don't just come on Sunday and think, no, this is it, right? That's all. I'll do my hour and 15 minutes if Eric's message is really long. I'll come, I'll sing a few songs, right? Listen to the long message, throw a few bucks in the plate, and that's my spiritual connection for the week with people. That's not what God has in mind for us as community, right? So if, regardless of your situation, make some phone calls. Connect via FaceTime. Get plugged in with one of our groups, whether it's in person or online. Figure out how to connect with some people who can challenge you and encourage you in your faith. Right? We as a community have to fight to establish and maintain our connections with other people in our faith community. Right? John 13, verse 35, Jesus speaking says this, "By this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." By this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Making sure that you are connecting to other individuals who are followers of Jesus, that's pretty critical to proclaiming Jesus to the world around us, if that verse is true. They need to see how we love one another. And I would ask you to hear me on this. This faith community is where that you've chosen to be a part of is where Jesus is meant to be made known to others. You can't demonstrate that love if you aren't engaged in it and involved in it. I mean, yes, you can show Jesus' love to other people around you, but this is the place where they are meant to see us live it out in a way that is contrary to the world around us. We're supposed to be a picture for everybody of what Christian love and community is supposed to look like. And it's going to look a lot different than some of the things we see in this world. We have to be united in that effort. Right? So this week, this past fall, we talked about how God desires unity among people. And Peter talked about that too. 1 Peter 3:8. Finally, all of you have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble spirit. Now, you might have thought, well, we're just, going way out there on this relationship thing, and there's not even any 1 Peter involved in this one except for the starting point. But here it is, right? And it's the next verse in our progression as we're studying through 1 Peter. 1 Peter 3:8. Finally, all of you have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble spirit. Humble mind, sorry. These are things that should be fleshed out in our community. Being of one mind. Right? Being on the same page, having that same purpose. Having sympathy, love, tenderness, humility. As a faith community, we have to be sure that we are not letting any of the secondary, worldly, earthly, fleshly issues bring division among us. Whether it's because of the coronavirus or social justice or politics, this is what we talked about in the fall. Don't let any secondary issues bring division among us. We're meant to be one, one mind, working together. Keep focused on Jesus. Keep focused on his kingdom. Don't let bitterness against anyone who might see things differently than you, don't let bitterness against anyone take root in your heart, because that doesn't show people the kind of love that Jesus wants us to portray. We're called to proclaim God's excellencies as we interact with one another in our faith community. So, as we wrap up, the song that we played to start this segment, The Friends by Michael W. Smith, you know, bottom line is this, that's what we're meant to be, right? It's what we're trying to build here in this faith community, strong Christian friendships, right? Friends. A faith community where people genuinely love on one another. That's going to mean some things for us. It's going to mean stepping outside our comfort zones relationally. That means making relationships a priority. It means sacrificing of ourselves for one another. It means intentionally pursuing one another. And it means not just hiding, but being willing to put ourselves out there and take a risk to make some connections. It means us saying, hey, can we find some time to get together and connect somehow? And you know what? To a certain extent, I know that that happens a bit in our community, but let's take that a step further, because it should mean that when we connect, it isn't just talking sports or movies or playing cards or board games, right? I mean, those are great to do. But talking about your struggles, taking time to pray for one another and with one another, sharing what God is showing you and encouraging the other person to keep pursuing him, that and discussing what you're learning in his word. These are the kinds of things we should be doing in those relationships if we want them to really reflect what God has in mind. So these are some of the ways we can proclaim his excellencies in our faith community, in our relationships, in our friendships. But it takes all of us to be doing this, to be committed to one another, together, because we can't connect by ourselves. So what is the next step for you, right? Is there a next step for you that you need to take in this? Is it to reach out to some Christian friends that you can encourage and challenge? Maybe it's to recommit to an in-person women's group or an online connection through that. Maybe it's reestablishing your men's group or your spear group that got started a while back. Maybe it's like re-upping with the online connection group that's going on. Whatever it is, please do it. And you know what? Talk to me or message me if you need some help getting started and figuring out who to connect with or reaching out to somebody in taking that next step. All right, just one quote I want to close with. This is from Randy Frazee. He's a guy who's wrote quite a bit on community and has worked to develop that a lot. He says this: the development of meaningful relationships where every member carries a significant sense of belonging is central to what it means to be the church. This is a God-ordained gathering of people that is so strong that even the gates of hell will not overcome it. Right? That's what the church is meant to be, a place that the gates of hell is not going to overcome. We have one another in this battle, in this fight. Let's take advantage of that, right? Let's pursue that, all right? Let's stand together. Don't stand, because Scott's going to come up and give announcements in just a minute. So let's just close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you, first of all, for each of the people in our community that, for whatever reason, right now, their status is single. We want to celebrate them as individuals who are just so valuable and precious to you and precious to us. And Father, we know that they may struggle at times to feel that, but would you, by your Spirit, just reaffirm your incredible love for them, reinforce the identity that they have in you as a follower of Christ, as one who is loved, who belongs to you, and who is a part of this faith community. We're so grateful for each person in our community, but especially today, Father, we want to lift up our individuals who are singles. And just thank you for them. Thank you for them. We also want to pray for this faith community, that we would continue to push into deeper waters, that we would be continuing to try to become more of the community that you long for us to be, one where people love each other well and pursue each other hard and care about each other deeply, one that wants to see our relationships become all that you have in store. Help us to pursue that. Keep us mindful of that. And Father, we pray that you would allow us to break through the barriers that exist right now in this time of those who are in person and those who are online. We pray that you would find a way for that to take place, and that we wouldn't be afraid to try some new ways of connecting if that's what it takes. God, give us the courage to do that, and give us the motivation to do that. Give us your Spirit to lead us through the process. So we pray for all of this morning. We thank you for the opportunity to worship, and we lift this all before you. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the podcast of the Portico Church in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. You can find out more about our church at porticocommunity.com.